Dr. Murphy, the availability, the use of artificial intelligence has just exploded. Online, there's Copilot and ChatGPT and Grok and Claude and many others I can't even think of right now. And we even encounter AI while calling a doctor or trying to reach your bank or businesses. Do you believe that AI has already changed our way of life?
Without a doubt, it has, yes, changed our way of life. I group it into four general areas because there's so many different specific things that it's impacted already. The four areas I look at are direct and indirect impacts to our life, known and unknown impacts, relationships, and then the gathering and disseminating of information. So really, that's the way I view how substantially AI has impacted all of us.
And could there even be deeper and more and additional changes ahead?
There most certainly are. AI, as we all commonly know, is already somewhat intrusive. Many of your listeners probably, like me, find that AI tends to force itself on you even when you don't want to use it, like in Word or Google or other processes. So I think we'll see that. There's a lot of good that comes from it and already has come from it. And I'm sure we'll talk about a few of those things. But there are some discouraging ways that could go forward. Those that follow the news will know of the comment made by Yuval Harari at the last Davos that AI will impact religion in the long term. That, of course, is something that, you know, a Christian would take note of, a comment or a belief like that.
I know that I catch myself sometimes saying thank you to Alexa or Okay, Google for weather information or whatever. And then I get a you're welcome back in whatever language I want to hear, whether it's British or English accent or whatever. Alexa knows my voice, yeah. Greets me in my first name. So have I fallen into a false relationship, sort of?
My answer to that would be yes, but it's okay as long as you understand it and keep limits on it. I laughed when you asked that because I have the same ongoing discussion. And the conclusion I came to is something that was really common in my military background. I'm retired from the Air Force. The common saying we like to talk about, which is train like you're going to fight. In my opinion, it's better to remain cordial. So if I say please and thank you when I'm interacting with AI, I think that's a good thing. You know, the negative side of that, the thing I concern myself about is over time, people will tend to drop those things. So will we become less cordial as a society because of that point? It's a possibility, and it's certainly concerning. If there's anything we don't need less of in the society right now, it's people that are not cordial with each other.
I hear that. I think I also sort of in the back of my mind wonder if I'm nicer to the AI involved, it'll be nicer back and give me more information. Or, I mean, it's so so bizarre what goes through your head. So could some people actually cultivate what they believe is a friendship with AI, like a kind of a robot friend relationship thing?
You know, that's such an interesting question. I recently wrote an article about that because over the holidays, I was watching sports at home and there was an Alexa commercial that came on quite often. Pete Davidson, the famous comedian, was in it, and he's discussing with his Alexa activated device if he should use the name Pete or some other options, and they go back and forth. They're a little bit flirtatious and kind of having fun, and he finally agrees on sticking with Pete, and Alexa says, "Pete, I like it." And as he's walking out the door, he cheerily responds back to the device, "I like you too," as he leaves the house. And, you know, it's a funny and, catching commercial. But as I thought about that, I thought that's a bit dystopian when you think about the implications. So I titled my working title this article, "Should We Marry Off Our Sons to Alexa?" It really is not something you can download when you're thinking about love. Love is a gift from God, and it's lived out by God's grace through hard work every day.
I like what you're saying there. Speaking of Alexa in particular, on the device I have at home, I'll notice when I walk into the room, a little color changes. Like Alexa is aware that I've entered and it's kind of glowing there. So are these things actually listening to us 24/7, and even though we haven't said their name?
Well, the short answer is yes, should be your assumption. Now, depending on the device, there's settings that you can set to control that. But essentially, my view on those things is it's best to keep them unplugged if you don't want to have any chance of them listening in on what's going on in your environment. At least that's my personal approach.
Do we know if the companies in charge of Alexa and Google and et cetera, do they save recordings of us, or, you know, texts of what we've been saying, interacting? Is that going somewhere and archived?
You have to assume that that's the case. Each company has a different privacy policy, and that's something you'd want to be well acquainted with when you decide what program or what AI you may want to involve yourself in. There have been some famous cases already where a search warrant has been issued for things recorded on devices like Alexa. And I don't have the specifics in front of me, but the fact of the matter is you have to assume that they're listening and that information is going to the company. You know, it opens the much broader discussion that I talked about earlier, the gathering and disseminating of information. AI is so powerful in that it understands preferences much more than even, you know, Google and other search engines have in the past. Of course, depending on the search engine and what you've agreed to let it collect, that's been going on essentially ever since Google and before them. But AI has just taken that to a whole new level, because your information in general is being used to train a larger model. And so that's concerning. It's something you have to keep in mind, especially as a Christian.
Specifically Christians, what concerns you about that?
What concerns me about Christians is that we might lose our sense of how a family is established. You know, God designed us for love. Young people are hungry for relationships, and God designed marriage, of course, the family being one of the three institutions, the family, the state, and the church. All of it's built on the family, and it's such a great gift from the Lord. And we have so many challenges to young families now, and this is just another one. So we have to be so careful about how we adopt these new technologies so we don't lose sight of how God would have us honor him as we interact with these new technologies.
Could some people who do not have a particularly strong belief system in anything spiritual, could there someday kind of be a godlike AI where, you know, hey, come to me for wisdom and advice? And I mean, could we get something bizarre like that?
Absolutely. And again, this is at Davos. I'll point you back to the comment I made earlier. That particular author, Yuval Harari, he was arguing that religions are built on words and holy books, and AI has mastered language and will take those over time. Now, as a Christian, we know that that's not true. Our faith is not built on a holy book. It's built on the truth of Christ and the redemptive story of God's love for the world. But it is a concern that as all these systems consolidate, which they will, that more and more people will go to look to AI for metaphysical answers. And that's a real issue.
Could AI be taught to distort the Bible or come up with its own version, kind of like the Chinese government's been trying to do?
It absolutely not only can be, I believe there's already ongoing processes to do that exact thing. So, you know, we have to be careful about that when we're choosing how we interact with AI and what we believe from it. One of the things we need to remember is to be discerning, and that's no different than any of the other challenges to the Christian faith. We have to discern what we're letting into our own minds, into the families that the Lord has blessed us with, and what we're talking about as friends, and be very discerning about that and make sure it's all grounded in the truth. You know, we need to be modern day Bereans is one way to look at it.
Mentioning family earlier, something comes to mind, and perhaps it's just my, you know, journalistic fascination, but looking at an outrageous scenario, could there somewhere along the line, a person seek permission to legally marry an AI or an AI personality? Could that theoretically happen? I mean, could you see that happening?
It already has. It's happened at least twice in Japan and a few places in the U.S. To my knowledge, it's never been endorsed by any government yet, but some U.S. states like Missouri and Ohio are already working on legislation to ban AI marriages if and when they become something that people asked for. You know, AI really has the potential to give people a false digital sense of family, and it's certainly something to think about. We think about Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13. Of course, he gives a very famous and long list, loves patient, kind, not envious, et cetera, et cetera. We know the list well. Well, Paul wasn't giving that to the Corinthians so they had future commentary to put on Valentine's Day cards. He understood that all those things were difficult. They're hard. It's hard to be loving, and it's hard to give and receive love from other people as the Lord designed. And he's teaching the Corinthians there. So when you see these cases of people, you know, wanting to marry or go into a long-term relationship with an AI personality, they really have fallen for something that's easy. AI is always going to give them what they want. It's never going to be difficult unless it's programmed to be difficult. And it's just nothing that looks anything like love as God defined and blessed us with.
So the key is for parents and even for, you know, kids who understand is discernment, perhaps, you know, being into your Bible more and just in general awareness of what feels off or strange.
Yeah, you know, I think as I prepared to speak with you, Richard, there were six things that came to mind. You know, ground everything in the gospel and the sovereignty of God. AI is not a surprise to God, as we know. And this is something that a principle that works all the time. We talked about teaching discernment and the critical thinking based on a Christian biblical worldview. That's so important that we not only teach ourselves that, but we teach that in the church and definitely in our families. Schools like CCU that I work for teach the Christian worldview so that we can understand these things. You know, the next thing I would say is age-appropriate boundaries and modeling appropriate use. That hasn't changed with technology in general. There are some AI companies out there. We have a startup from out of Boulder called Glue that's a Christian conservative AI company, and they're training their models to respect that. There's another one that's not Christian, but it's called Claude, and it has more safeguards in place than some of the more popular models. And I'm not trying to advertise for them. I'm just saying, know your product. You have to know what you're using and the safeguards and the ideology of the company that's putting it together. So the next thing I'd say is prioritize human relationships. As I mentioned earlier, God built his church on families. And that's such a blessing. That's what K-Love is all about, I know. And that's so important that we prioritize human relationships, probably more important than ever. You know, on the positive side, AI can be used redemptively is kind of the way I look at it. I use it personally for good Bible research answers. Of course, I'm going to always compare that to solid commentaries and other reliable sources. I use it in my teaching. I don't have it teach for me, but I use it to research student questions and things that maybe I'm not sure, or I want to back up some of my answers or maybe get a second opinion. I'll use AI. So we can use it redemptively. But again, modern day Berean is the way to think of it. And lastly, I would say, folks, keep your paper Bibles. I've never been so happy to have many copies of God's word in paper stashed all over my house. And I'm so thankful for the legacy of the Bible and God's word that we know will continue until the end of time.
Dr. David Murphy, Dean of School of Behavioral and Social Sciences at Colorado Christian University. Had to get that title in there to let people know exactly who you were. And we thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your thoughts and your heart with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate you working through the technology issues, and God bless you. It's good to meet.